8 tonight, verse 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, for your blessings in our lives. And Father, help us, God, as we look through the things of frustration, the things that cause turmoil in our lives spiritually, Lord, just to see what you'd have us to see, Father, and to stand where you'd have us to stand. God, we're thankful for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, help us, God, to be faithful unto you in all that we do. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, we say amen. I want to preach to you tonight on faith that matters. And it takes a faith that matters to change things in our lives, to change things in the world around us. We want to see our families change. We want to see our lives change. We want to see our church change. But it takes faith. Amen? And it takes faithfulness to have faith that matters. The centurion came to Jesus, and he was a man that wasn't of the recognized religious crowd, but praise God, he had faith. Amen? He wasn't part of the establishment, but he had faith. He wasn't what everybody was thinking would be a faithful man of God, but he turned out to be the one that Jesus found a faith in that caused him to marvel. I preached last week. I told you there's two times in the Bible that Jesus marveled at faith. Once he marveled at the unbelief of the Jews, at the unbelief of his own kinsmen, his own home folk, as he was there in his home and he was preaching and he was doing the things that he did. Folks were getting healed. Lives were being changed. But they didn't believe, and Jesus marveled at their unbelief, and he couldn't do nothing there. You know why we don't see Jesus doing things? It's because we have too much unbelief. Amen. Amen. There was a few folks that Jesus was able to heal in his own hometown. Amen. But I believe they're the ones that had faith that he could do it. But the Bible says he couldn't do nothing there because of their unbelief. You know, I believe God can't do things in Charlestown because there's too much unbelief. There's too much unfaithfulness. There's a lot of lip service, but there's not a lot of heart service going on. It's the truth. We want God to work. We want God to do. We want God to change things, but our lives just don't speak of the faith that we need to have. The Bible said Jesus could do nothing there because of their unbelief. They didn't have faith. But then, a few accounts later, we see Jesus in Capernaum. And as he's in Capernaum, we see this Gentile, this Roman centurion, that has a servant that is sick with the palsy. And Luke, it says his servant is dying. The man has a grievous problem. But this man has a great faith. Jesus marvels at his faith. He hasn't found a faith like this among the religious crowd. He hasn't found a faith like this among his own people. But this man has a great faith. And his faith was a faith that made a difference. You see, we can have two kinds of faith. We can have a faith that don't matter. Amen. A faith that is so insignificant, a faith that is so small, a faith that is so frivolous and so fickle that it has no substance whatsoever, and we can see nothing done. Or we can have a faith that matters. What's the difference? Recognizing Jesus. The home crowd only seen Jesus, the son of the carpenter. Jesus, the son of Mary. Jesus that Everybody knew Jesus, who had become so familiar with to them that he didn't hold no place special in their hearts and in their lives. And that's all he was to them, was just Jesus. That's all he was to them, was just like everybody else. We grew up with him. Here's his brothers and his sister, his mother. He's just Jesus. But to the centurion, he was more than that. See, faith that matters sees Jesus for more than just a name. Jesus for more than just a man. Jesus for more than just a person. This centurion, this was a man, I want you to understand something. This was a man that had authority. He commanded at least 100 soldiers, and a centurion could command more than that. He was set in this area. He was a man that had authority. He said, I say to this one, do this, and that one, do that, and they do what I tell them to do because I have authority. And he said, and I'm under authority. He had people that were above him, and he had people that he answered to. But ultimately, when this centurion spoke, he spoke, and when he spoke as the voice of Caesar. Do you understand? Do you recognize that? That's the authority that this man had. And I challenge you to go do something sometime. Look at all the centurions in the Bible. As we read about the centurions in the Bible, we see that we can see them in a favorable light. Why? Because in almost every instance, they came to recognize Christ for who he was. Amen. The centurion at the beginning of Jesus' ministry recognizes him for who he is. He calls him Lord. Amen. The centurion at the cross when Jesus dies recognizes him for who he is. He said, surely this was the Son of God. Even the centurions that were charged and instructed to keep Paul were favorable to allowing him to receive people and to preach the gospel. You see, I believe that this man, even though he had great power, even though he had great authority, had to come to the place of realizing that in the sight of God and in place of Jesus, he was nothing. For he came to Jesus and he acknowledged that Jesus had authority. He called him Lord. To call this man that had power, this man that had authority, for him to call Jesus Lord means that he was acknowledging who he was. You know the problem in our church? We got too many in our church that have not acknowledged Jesus for who he is. They haven't made him Lord. Amen. If he was Lord of their life, they would be here tonight. If he was Lord of their life, that they would let nothing else come before him. He would be the most important thing in their life. Amen. This man had authority. He had power, but yet he acknowledged Jesus for who he was, and he seen Christ for who he was, and he recognized that if you want to have a faith that matters, you need to have a Jesus that matters. If you're going to have a faith that matters, you got to have a God that is a God, and a God that is Lord, and a God that is master in your life, a God that really matters. Amen. You'll never have a faith that matters until you have a God in your life that matters. Amen. That's why he had a faith that could change things, and he had a faith that mattered and that Jesus marveled over. You see, Jesus didn't have to come finding him. He came finding Jesus. You know what the problem of most people is? We've become so self-centered. Amen. So self-absorbed that we think the world revolves around us. Amen. That we're the center of the... You know what's the greatest tragedy in most people's lives today? why the millennials have to have a place to go hide and a place to what do they call that? Cry rooms, a safe place. They have to have a safe place to go to. Because every now and then they find out that the world doesn't revolve around them.
Right.
Amen. You know what we got? Facebook has a generation of people coming up that thinks the world revolves around them. Amen. I feel sorry for some of these kids that are growing up. Amen. They have there's nothing in their life that is private whatsoever. Everything they do in life is put out on Facebook. The whole world gets to know it. Am I telling the truth or what? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. They have no privacy. They have no life that is their own. Their whole life is out there for the whole world to see. And they begin pretty soon to think that the whole world revolves around them. And I got news for you, it don't. People start getting a little bit of prosperity and God begins to bless them in their life. And pretty soon they think the whole world revolves around them and it don't. Amen. One of the biggest shocks in American culture today, one of the biggest shocks in our churches today is the world don't revolve around you. The world don't revolve around your thoughts and your preferences and the things you like. The world revolves around Jesus. Amen? And we got to get into that frame of mind. We got to get our hearts and minds back to the place where God comes first, where Jesus comes first. Jesus is the most important thing in our life. This man was a man of authority. He could have sent his servants and go and command Jesus to come here, and they would have brought Jesus to him, but he didn't do that. He sought him out because he realized who Jesus was. He realized that he wasn't really the one that was in control, that Jesus was. Amen. He acknowledged who he was and he sought him out. He gave Jesus the rightful place that he deserved. He could have told Jesus, "Man, my servant is sick. Come and heal him." But he didn't. Listen at his tone. Listen at his voice. "My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should comest under my roof, but speak the word only." He didn't command Jesus. He just laid his burden out. He just laid his cause out. And he knew that Jesus would know what to do. He knew that Jesus was in control. And he could plead with Jesus. And he knew that when Jesus heard what the need was, that he would know what to do. He didn't direct them. He just simply pleaded with him. He didn't command him. "Oh God, heal my loved one. Oh God, change my family's heart. Oh God, do this and God come do that." And instead he said, "Lord, let your will be done. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord. But I've got faith in you because I know who you are. I got faith in you because I know what you can do. Everybody else might not, but Lord, I want you to know I do. Lord, I've heard." You know, the people in his hometown had heard what Jesus had done. Amen. My man, before he come back home, he just got done doing some miracles and healing some people and changing some lives. And he shows up and his own hometown crowd won't receive him because he's just Jesus. He's just Jesus. They have a faith that gets nothing done. A faith that sees nothing accomplished. A faith that sees them dying, withering away from disease, crippled and unable to do anything because they deny him. I don't want that kind of a faith. I want a faith that matters. I want a faith that Jesus says I can say, if I just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I could say to this tree, "Be cast into the ocean, it'd be cast into the ocean." I want that kind of a faith. I want a mountain moving, mountain changing faith. Amen. I want a life-changing, a life-impacting faith, because it's not my life that always is in the balance. Sometimes it's the life of someone that I love. Amen. He said, my servant whom I love. Somebody he loved. Somebody he cared about deeply was in need of a touch. And Jesus was the one that had the touch. Jesus was the one that could meet the need. Jesus was the one that could get a hold of the glory world. Jesus was the one who was the glory world imparted unto man. He was the glory world. And the centurion recognized that. Do you recognize that tonight? Do you recognize that Jesus, he's more than a name? My wife and Calvin's sisters used to sing a song, he's more than just a swear word. More than just an I don't care word. I don't know how much the rest of it goes. I remember that part of it. Amen. Jesus was Lord. Jesus was King. Jesus was everything. Is he that to you tonight? If you want a faith that matters, Jesus has to be the most important thing. Amen. In your life. Not only did he recognize Christ's authority, he recognized his inferiority. He concedes right off the bat that Jesus is the Lord. Recognizes him for who he is. And Jesus said, man, I'll come. In verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know, Jewish tradition taught that if you went into a Gentile's house, you went into the home, or you kept association with someone that was not a Jew, then you would be unclean. There's nothing in the law. There was nothing in the law that stated that. That was the rabbinical teaching. That was the teaching that the rabbis had come up with, and the things that they had yoked people down with, as Jesus said, you yoked the people down with burdens that you yourselves won't even try to bear. But one of these things that they had taught, and one of these things that had become tradition, one of these things that they had grasped on, was that if you keep an association with anyone that's not a Jew, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. If you associate with Gentiles, you'll make yourself unclean. And when you was unclean, you had to live without the camp. When you was unclean, you couldn't worship. When you was unclean, you couldn't associate with your family or any other Jew until you ritually cleansed yourself. That's why they had all these pools for ritual cleansing in Jerusalem. We can read about this in John 18 and 28 when the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the religious crowd, brought Jesus to Pilate to be judged. They sent Jesus in, but they wouldn't go in because they didn't want to be unclean, because the Bible says that the Sabbath, the Passover, the most important Sabbath that they was keeping, the Passover Sabbath, was nigh at hand. And they didn't want to become unclean and not be able to keep the Passover. We see when Peter was in Joppa and he was on the roof of the house, and God gave him the vision and told him to go down to the centurion's house to go visit with Cornelius and see Cornelius. And Peter said, Lord, I've never touched anything. I've never done anything. It's unclean. I can't go down there. And God said, I'm telling you to go. Amen. I'm no respecter of person. You go down there. That man has a need. And this centurion knew. He knew these Jewish traditions and could have commanded Jesus to come. But yet he was willing to humble himself and make himself of low esteem. And he even looked at Jesus and said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. I'm not worthy. You know what? The first thing we need to do, we need to come to the realization that we're not worthy of anything. We're not worthy of one single blessing that God gives us. We're not worthy of him answering one prayer for us in our lives. The only thing that gives us any cause, any clue of being worthy for anything whatsoever is the righteousness of Christ. And because of the righteousness of Christ and his blood applied to our life, we have access to the throne room. Amen. We're not worthy. But through Christ, we've been given access. We're not worthy of it. That's what makes me so disgusted. Everybody thinks they're deserving of everything. We're worthy of these things. God owes me this. God owes me that. Oh, I'm the daughter, I'm the princess, I'm a daughter of the king. Yeah. You are, but you're not worthy of it. I'm the Son of God. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Yeah, I am. But I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. If it were not for the marvelous, amazing grace of God, there would be no hope for me whatsoever. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of the honor to stand and preach his word. I'm not worthy of the honor to pastor this church. I'm not worthy of anything that God has blessed me with and God has given me. But praise God, I know this. Because of him, I've been given access. That old centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but just speak the word. Just speak the word. Just say so. And that's good enough for me. Just say so. So first, he recognized Christ's authority. Second, he recognized his inferiority. He humbled himself. And third, he was willing to take Jesus at his word. Amen. You know the problem with so many of us? We don't take God at his word. Amen. We pick out the parts that we want to hear, and we forget about the parts we don't want to hear. We forget about all the things that tell us all the blessings that God's going to give us. But we like to forget about all the things that he tells us are going to happen when we're disobedient unto his will and his word. Amen. We're just like kids. They only want to hear what they're going to get. They don't want to hear what's going to be taken away. Amen. Isn't that the truth? They only want to hear the good stuff. Don't want to hear the bad things. They only want to hear what's pleasing unto them, what satisfies them. Don't want to hear the rest of it. But this centurion said, Lord, just speak the word. I'm going to take you at your word. If you want a faith that matters, you're going to have to start taking Jesus at his word. Amen. Take him at his word. The whole word. Take him at his word that he's not always going to heal every disease. If he healed all the diseases, and everybody lived forever, there would have been no need for him to go to Calvary. Right. But we can trust him because of his word. He said, we're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. I don't know what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but I'm going to trust him. Whatever he says and however he does it, I'm going to trust him. Amen. I'm going to take him at his word. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times for the problem that I had. And I don't think there was a man you'll read anywhere in the New Testament that had any more faith than Paul did after he got saved. Amen. I mean, he trusted God wholly and completely. He took the beatings, he took the scourgings, he took the canings, he took the shipwrecking, he took the stoning, he took the being hunted down, he took everything that was thrown out of him as a grain of salt because he knew what was awaiting him. He took God at his word. You know, tonight, if you want to have a faith that matters, you need to have a faith that recognizes him for who he is. If you recognize him for who he is, you truly see how little you really are. And when you truly see how little you really are, you realize that all we have and all we can go on is his word. Jesus never lies. He never told us our life was going to be a bed of roses. He never told us everything was going to be just hunky-dory and there was never going to be a problem in our lives. But he told us he'd never leave us. You remember Paul as he stood on the deck of that ship just before they made their final crash into Melita? And he said, "Sirs, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, stood with me this night." Amen. He said, "I never leave you nor forsake you." He didn't say you wouldn't go through storms. He didn't say you wouldn't go through difficult times. Take him at his word. Amen. He tells us we can ask. And he'll answer. But the answer is not always yes. You see, we like to take the points. Well, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father's going to give." But John tells us that we know that what he hears us. See, here's the secret. Take him at his word. The whole word, not just the parts we want. We know that he hears us when we ask according to his will.
Amen.
Amen. Take him at his word. But don't just hear what you want to hear. Hear the whole word. In John 4:49-50, the Bible says, "The noble man saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way." You know what? And before he got home, they come and told him that his son lived. And before he got home, as they told him, he says, "Just when did this happen?" They said, "Yesterday, about such and such a time." He said, That was the time I took Jesus at his word. That was the time. You know when faith begins to matter? When we take Jesus at his word. You know when faith made the difference? When faith turned things around there in that young man's life? When the word mattered. The word became real. The word became truth. You know when faith is going to matter in our lives? It's when we take Jesus at his word. Not just the parts of the word that we want to hear, but the whole word. I believe we're seeing a lot of the suffering going on in our church because we lack the faith to see God turn it around. I'm going to tell you, Amber, I don't know why your mom's got to go through what she's going to go through. But I know she did say this. As I'm going through this,
hope that God uses it for His glory. Amen. Hope God uses it for His honor. Brother Jeff Faggart, don't know why. That's one of the most faithful men of God I know. You know, that man, he won't go out anywhere to eat on Sunday. When he come here on Sunday, he goes to the motel and he sits there. He won't come to the house, so my wife would have to cook a meal for him. That man's faithful. Now he's got a brain tumor that's cancerous. You know what he said? I just hope that God somehow gets glory. God uses it for His glory. I don't know. Maybe Tanya. Please don't take this the wrong way. Maybe God touched her to use her to show us how unworthy, how selfish, and how unfaithful that we've been. I don't know. Maybe if we got earnest and we got serious, we could see God turn Tanya's life, her cancer around. We could see God turn John's cancer around. We could say, I heard the testimony this morning. I heard it the other night as I was over talking to George. I got the call from Sister Carlina and telling me about Betty Brewer. Now, I want to tell you, I know Betty, I know her family, and I know her life has been a life that's far from God. And I mean, it's been far from God. And God touched her with cancer. She had tumors all through her body. And heard the testimony this morning that when they went back and they done the test, they can't find a tumor anywhere. She had lung cancer. It moved out, went to her brain, had tumors all over her brain. They can't. If he can take a drunk that has forsaken him and turn her life around, I think he can take a godly woman and turn her situation around. But I believe maybe Tanya wasn't stricken. Tanya's not been touched for, and I don't know this to be true, but maybe God just touched her. Maybe God's touched George. Maybe God's touching the people in our church. Stop and think about it. Stop and look at the people that are dealing with serious issues in our church. To make us get serious. To make us get earnest. To focus on who God is. Who we are. And what He said He could do. You want to have a faith that matters. A faith that can change Tanya's life. A faith that can change George's life. A faith that can change Tom's life. And faith to lives of other people in our church. A faith that can change Joyce's life. And maybe we need to get a faith that matters. Maybe if we get a faith that matters, we can change the rest of these pews. But you know where it starts? It starts with the individual. You know when things got turned around in Capernaum? I believe it's when the centurion trusted Jesus. It took a sinner. It took a Gentile. It took a man far from the chosen one. To see Jesus do a work. If you read the account over in Luke, before Jesus ever got there, they done found out that things were changed. Before Jairus ever got to his house, he done found out that Jesus had the authority. And he placed his faith and trust in him. He done seen what he had done for this woman with the issue of blood. Amen. He done seen what she done. Before she found out, I believe she done heard what had happened in Gadara with the maniac there. It started with one. And then it growed. You want to have a faith that matters tonight? To get serious with Jesus. Get serious. He is the Lord. He is God. He sits on high. He is our everything. He is our all in all. And if he's not everything to you tonight, he'll be nothing to you. He'll not take second place to anything. He'll not take second place to your kids. He'll not take second place to your family. He'll not take second place to anything in your life. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. A faith that matters. I don't know about you, but that's the faith I want to have. I want to have a faith that when I pray for people, people know that I can get a hold of the throne room. Then when I pray for someone, they say, Pastor, your prayers were answered, your prayers worked. I want to have a mountain moving faith tonight. Do you want a faith that matters? This altar is open. You want a faith that will change lives tonight? This altar is open. You want to have a faith that will leave a legacy tonight? This altar is open. You want to have a faith that will change your church tonight? This altar is open. You want to have a faith that makes a difference? This altar is open. And nobody can make you have that faith. Nobody can bring you that faith. And there's not a magic wand that we can wave and give you that faith. But if you want to have that kind of faith tonight, the altar is open.